Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Friends, and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Week 15 ranks the second episode of the week. We had Seeley early on talking some waivers and some theoretical plays going into this week. Well, now we can see his ranks and we can point and pick, laugh, cry, whatever we want. It's the playoffs. We can do whatever we need to do. Brandon Funston is here with me at Brandon Funston on the Twitter. You can follow me, Chris Welsh, at Is It The Welsh. And that is what we've got in store, little tiny bits of news. And then we're going to see where Brandon is differing from Jake and just the crazy stuff that Jake is doing in the playoffs, which, Brandon, I'm very curious. How is your playoff run looking for you? Are there any fun, weird leagues you've got in the main important leagues? Like, what's your synopsis on the playoffs? How invested are you?
I have six leagues that I care about. One of them is Scott Fish Bowl, which I don't care. That's probably at the bottom of the six, and I didn't make the playoffs in that one. But I'm in the playoffs in four of the other five. I missed in one important league. I had one of my worst years ever. I kind of picked like the Chubbs, Joe Burrow, Christian Watson, and all these guys that I don't have on any other teams, and that team just went miserably bad. But all the other ones are going good, and I'm the nerves have heightened a little bit this week as I'm getting ready for the first round of the playoffs, just like I'm sure you are in a bunch of your leagues.
Yeah, I've got a few. I think I mentioned to a couple of people. I was just either all in or all out. I had no like, hey, I'm kind of fighting for a playoff spot. I was locked or I was out. So I didn't have any lead up. And then now you get in, and it's like I had this one. It's a deeper dynasty team. It's like in a dynasty league, 16 teams are out there. I'm near the very tippy top. And I'm like, I have all these great players and I scraped in with Jake Browning as my quarterback. Cause I lost everybody and I was all excited. And then it was like first round, Keenan Allen inactive. And that's one of my main wide receivers. And it's like, ugh. So you forget the intensity of this time of year and the decisions that you've got to make. And that's a lot of what this is all about. There's weird matchups, guys that are jumping into better spots, and there are real decisions to be had about some of these guys and like that type of thing. I tell a lot of people too, can you sleep at night type of decisions where someone's like, hey, this guy's got a great matchup, he's been heating up, versus this really big name player who's been struggling. Can I stomach not having that guy go? I'm kind of referring to like a Justin Jefferson specifically, because Jefferson was out for so long, came back, got hurt in the game that he returned in. Now he's saying he's good to go. If you don't have like awesome viable options, it doesn't really matter in this, but there is a scenario where it's like you took Jefferson, you got, let's say like Mike Evans, Debo, and then you picked up Puka on waivers and you start three. And it's like, could you start Jefferson over Puka, Debo, or Mike Evans this week? Do you have that level of trust? Like, I think those type of decisions kind of loom a little bit.
Yeah, I have Justin Jefferson in a league and Devin Achane in a league, and they're both in my flex spots, and I'm kind of sweating this week. And I have Darren Waller on my bench with Tyler Conklin. Tyler Conklin in my tight end spot, and I'm like, if Waller's cleared, do I just throw him in there over Tyler Conklin? Tyler Conklin, I mean, you might as well, right? Because, the ceiling on Waller at least is decently higher. But, yeah, it's we're going to talk about the tough decisions and stuff. But, this is where the rubber meets the road, as they say. And by the way, the Keenan Allen thing, that came out of left field. It's, I went on a podcast on Wednesday just guesting for the week with a guy who does a bunch of – you pick like five prop bets and you go against each other all week. You do it like three times and over the course of the week. And I had a Keenan Allen, Devontae Adams, same game parlay where they both get 50 plus yards. And it was like plus 105. And like Vegas doesn't offer a player prop if there's anything remotely like, I don't think Vegas had this on their radar either. You know, that he had this heel injury, because he was out there. He was being offered in early props, and usually they're very slow to the take when it comes to anything that's kind of questionable.
And you know, it's funny, that league I just told you about where I have Justin Jefferson, and that's a really important, and Jake Browning, or I'm sorry, Keenan Allen. I have Justin Jefferson, and he was sitting on the, I just hadn't made the move. So Keenan Allen goes out, Jefferson comes in. He would have, if he was active, I would have put him in no matter what. But, you know, I was lucky enough that the Keenan Allen thing didn't hit me too super hard. But, you know,
are you as a Justin Jefferson rosterer, are you more excited for Nick Mullins being his quarterback or Joshua Dobbs?
I'm optimistic. I'm not excited, because I actually was a Josh Dobbs believer, and he played so well, and he made good decisions, and he moved around the pocket, and then he absolutely fell apart in two games. Like, I don't know. It's almost one of those things. It was like I think actually people compared it like the Jeremy Lin run, you know, in basketball. Remember, he had the like
Lin sanity. Yeah.
Yeah. He had like 2 weeks where it was the most unstoppable, and then it stopped, and we're like, whoa, what happened? You know, or the hot first month baseball player, the Brandon Inge, who hits 13 homers or whatever in the first month, and then you never hear from him again. That's how Dobbs felt. And so I'm kind of like taken back by it. Nick Mullins isn't like great. He's a very backup 49er type of that game manager. So that's why I'm optimistic, because he's not going to throw like a big, awesome long ball. But if he is just cognizant of first reads and is just locked into Jefferson, Jefferson can make plays with his legs as long as they're working and everything else is working.
Yeah. And it's not like Justin Jefferson's like Chris Olave, where he's working pretty much more down the field. Like Justin Jefferson can work every blade of grass on the field. And so that's going to work okay for no matter who the quarterback is, but I think it should work fine for Nick Mullins, who doesn't have the big arm.
You know? Yeah. And the positive is he has experience in like a power, you know, it was a Shanahan, I think, based offense more recently. So it's like, you know, there is experience there. This isn't being thrown into Easton Stick, not to say that Easton Stick isn't going to do well this weekend, or the Tommy DeVito's and stuff like that. Like there's a little bit more of a known, we know not to get super excited, but we know like he can kind of manage these games, and they're probably going to be throwing even more without Alexander Mattison than what it's looking like. You know, it's just going to be Ty Chandler. So that's a weird setup. Maybe we'll talk about them. Let's take a look here. Jake's ranks are available over on The Athletic right now. If you go over to theathletic.com, if you don't have a subscription and you've been, I don't know, maybe been sitting on it the whole time, get the ranks for the playoffs. What a better time to figure out exactly who to put in your lineup in the most important time. But you also can think into the new year, because there is always information in the fantasy football world dropping for you, waivers and ranks up until the end of the season from Jake, and tons more. Otherwise, if you already have it, you can go to All In Kid, click on his link, and you can check it out, and you can see what those ranks look like. So let's start at quarterback. We'll see where you differ. The quick primer, Jalen Hurts number one again from Jake. And I didn't like it last week. It didn't work out. I don't particularly like it this week. And not to say that it's a bad matchup. He's up there, but I just still don't think he's affirmative number one. But hey, he's there. You've got Brock Purdy at number three, which is probably the most fun, eye-opening one, I think, in my eyes, of course. Lamar Jackson at four. That's who I actually really like this week at number one. Matthew Stafford all the way up to six. You've got Justin Fields, eight. Sam Howell at nine. Just want to point out, I'm giving a little bit more than usual. Those are the names in the top 10 at quarterback this week. Your hopes are on the Sam Howells in the top 10 that you might be starting over, you know, Geno Smith's, that you drafted a Geno Smith. You didn't really look into Sam Howell. He's there. And the first difference we have that you have, actually, I didn't realize we are also going to have a Geno one, is Jordan Love, who he's got at 10. You've got at seven. And wouldn't you know it, I'm with Brandon here. Because I agree, this is a Jordan Love game. I get excited about Jordan Love slanging the ball, and I'm with you on this one. So talk us through top seven Jordan Love this week.
Yeah, well, he is number nine overall on the season. CJ Stroud is somebody that I have moved him ahead of this week. We don't even know if he's going to play because he's in concussion protocol. So just on the season, on the merits of what his production has been, you could say, okay, he's been number eight. But then you look at the matchup, and it's Tampa Bay, and he is at home. And Tampa Bay is one of the most trash pass defenses in the league. We've seen it week in and week out. You can't run against them, but you can most definitely throw against them. So, you know, who does Jordan Love move up ahead of based upon the matchup? Well, I'm moving him ahead of Patrick Mahomes, who I have at number 8 this week. I have Jordan Love at number 7.
So, wait, yes, I didn't realize that. Love over Mahomes.
Yes, I would play Love over Mahomes this week. I mean, things are not right in Kansas City. The Patriots have done a good job against quarterbacks. You know, we know Bill Belichick. There's not a ton, like, you know, you're missing Isaiah Pacheco. We know Belichick knows how to hone in on stopping the one guy. So, you know, he's going to have to do a great job of slowing Travis Kelce down. And I just, you know, the season is so much slower for Patrick Mahomes right now. We've seen Jordan Love have plenty of 3 touchdown games. He can run a little bit when he needs to. Going to get Aaron Jones back this week, likely. You know, I think Jordan Love and Patrick Mahomes are really close. I'm giving the slight nod to Jordan Love because I think the ceiling's just much higher with him at home in this Tampa pass defense, which has been bad week in and week out.
This isn't exact, but this is pretty dang close to what I said at the top, where this is like great matchup, fine player versus elite guy that's got you there that you don't love the matchup. This is the example. I've got Mahomes in a lot of, surprisingly, in my playoffs in the Pentathlon League and Superflex. I've got him going. I've got him in a Guillotine League where you have all the options in the world. I haven't even been able to take him out of the lineup yet, even in place of Dak, which I probably will do. I have both of those guys in that. But I don't know if I could stomach it. But I agree with what you're saying. Like, they're going to hone in, but the Chiefs might be more prone to not trying to run the ball in this game and get the ball in the air if they're still dealing with Pacheco stuff. So that one's a tough one, Vern. I like Jordan Love, but I couldn't sit Mahomes, who he has, by the way, Jake has at 7 also.
The last six games, Mahomes, 8 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, only one game over 271 yards. So, I mean, it's 241, 185, 177, 298, 210, and 271. No rushing touchdowns. Well, so you get the 20 rush yards, you know, that's not for nothing. But I just think the ceiling for him right now is just capped like we haven't seen it in his NFL career so far.
Yeah, and Jake's version of that, his version of Jordan Love is Matthew Stafford, who he has Stafford over Mahomes right now. So I guess to be fair,
I do too. Stafford at 6. I have Stafford 6, Love 7, and Mahomes 8. I think those guys are all splitting hairs for me. I think they're really close.
I'd argue too that like Stafford has teetered and is teetering that like pickup line. Like, you know, I think he might have just crossed it. I'm not sure, but he's like last week. And earlier in this week, he was in the waiver, like, you know, 60, 50% of leagues. Yeah, he's still available out there. You legit might have a league where Stafford is sitting out on your wire and, you know, you listening has like Jared Goff or something. And it's like, yeah, dump him, you know, dump him for Stafford because this is a fantastic matchup. Probably also a good DFS stack. Just throwing that out there with, you know, Stafford and Puka or getting back into the cup business, especially cup healthy just makes him better. I mentioned the other guy that you've got a discrepancy on. And it's funny because I talked him up on ITL this week. But Geno Smith, you've got at 14. Jake's got him at 18. So I used him as kind of an example, like, hey, you know, you're going to think about starting him over big guys. I'm not making the case I'm going to start him over Mahomes, but I've got him quite a bit higher as well than Jake does. As a matter of fact, Jake's got Kyler Murray at 15. I would rather Geno Smith at this point over Kyler Murray, because if you want to talk about matchups, these are polar ends of them. 49ers yeah. defense up against Kyler Murray, and Geno Smith is going up against the worst pass defense over the last month. Fantasy points scored, like wide receivers are scoring the number one against Philly right now. They're going to hold it down at some point, Brandon, but I don't know if this is it. So Geno's got a phenomenal matchup where a guy like Kyler has a bad matchup, and I have Geno over Kyler this week.
I do as well. I'm at 14. Jake's at him at 18. We still have to wait for him to get cleared. But the last we saw him, he had his best game of the year with 3 touchdown passes and a touchdown running at Dallas, you know, on Thursday night. So DK's rolling right now. You mentioned it. The Eagles are the best fantasy matchup you can have for your fantasy quarterback. They have given up the most fantasy points to the quarterback position. You can't run on them. But, you know, Seattle's at home. they're all the skill position guys are healthy. Can you get Ken Walker and Zach Charbonneau? Philadelphia is going to have to at least respect that running game. But you got Jackson Smith and Jigba getting more and more involved. They started getting the tight ends more involved again. You know, they kind of forgot about tight ends for a while. Now we're seeing them get them getting a little bit smarter with their play calling and getting them involved. Drew Locke looked pretty good, you know, last week. So, I mean, if Drew Locke played, probably have Drew Locke as a top 20 play as well. But I think if Geno's out there, based on what he did his last time out, the way this offense has gotten healthy around him, including the offensive line and the matchup, I think you got to have him as a top 15 play this week.
Yeah, I think the top 15 plays the conversation. It's like, just because it's the best matchup, not going to vault him into crazy stuff. But, you know, like I said, I play in deeper leagues. There are people out there that are playing in deeper leagues, and this might be a decision. Or maybe, you know, you are just staring at you have a couple of those quarterbacks. You have a Geno, and you had, even Jared Goff at this point. Like, Jared Goff's been fine. But, you know, I think you could make the coin flip be in favor of the guy that has the great matchup. Even though it still feels a little fool's goldy to me because of Philly. Like, Philly's just playing so bad in the secondary. I just don't think they're this bad. But I don't know how long I can keep saying they're this bad until we realize they're that bad. You know what I'm saying? Bad. Like, yeah, they're like exactly. Actually like that bad. Let's go over to running backs. Your primer for RBs from Jake, no surprise. Christian McCaffrey up at the tippy top. Number two is quite a surprise, only by name. Kyren Williams. Great matchup against Washington. He pops in there. You've got Bijan Robinson at six, Ezekiel Elliott making the top 10, which we'll talk about that here actually in just 1 second. Derrick Henry comes in at 10 and Tony Pollard making an appearance at 11. So let's actually start there because Ezekiel Elliott is one of the biggest differences we've seen in quite a while from you guys. He's got Elliott as a mid RB1. You've got Elliott as a mid RB2. So this is 15-8 discrepancy. So let's hear it on Elliott.
Yeah. I mean, he's still Ezekiel Elliott, still old. You know, he didn't run the ball. He got a ton of volume and we love volume. He had the 20 plus carries, but he only had 60 some yards. What he really did is he had a huge day through the air. You know, that's not going to be lost on Kansas City. He's literally, if Demario Douglas doesn't play, who do you care about if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, which is a good defensive team, and they've been one of the better teams in the league at limiting running back production through the air. James Cook had a really good day last week, but you know what? When Josh Allen is your quarterback, yeah, you might have a little bit more of your attention diverted to making sure that you got people that are following, shadowing him, and making sure that Josh Allen doesn't get loose, and maybe a running back does, you know, is able to get loose on them. But when your quarterback is Bailey Zappe, like, you're not going to let Ezekiel Elliott go for 7 catches and 78 yards against you when you've been good at limiting running back production through the air as it was. So I on the volume, I'm going to rank Ezekiel Elliott as a solid RB2. I am not going to put him ahead of, and this is the one that gets me, is that Jake's got him ahead of Raheem Mostert, who was the number one running back in the week that he played the Jets in New York the last time they played. And now you have Devon Achane dealing with a toe injury. Like, I'm not ranking Ezekiel Elliott ahead of Raheem Mostert, who's the number two running back in fantasy football for the season, who leads everybody in touchdowns scored. Like, I think we got a little bit drunk on you know, almost 30 touches from Ezekiel Elliott last week. I think there's going to be a different story this week, and I'm not going to get out of control with him.
Yeah, I think my biggest problem is, like, this is like you kind of alluded to it. This is volume on like a really inefficient offense. So like, I also see, and I know not everybody's getting super excited about him, but like, he's got him like 5 spots higher than Austin Eckler. And I know Austin Eckler isn't the most exciting on the planet, but he had a good week last week. Easton Stick might not be like this awful transition thing that happens. And guess what? They might just go back to volume with Austin Eckler. What safe thing can you do? What are the two safe things when you get a new quarterback into an offense? Who are the two guys that usually benefit? Running backs who catch out of the backfield and tight ends down the middle. Those are your safety nets. Well, you have one of the best at it in the game. Also, with this whole like, hey, he's going to get more volume, I'd argue that like Eckler gets more volume. So would you rather have Eckler's volume or Elliott's volume, which maybe is a little bit higher with the Patriots? So my thing is that that offense is so bad. I just don't know how impact. I think Elliott is a startable guy, but I'm not with Jake on the impact of it. And if I were having a decision based on these ranks, if the decision was, and someone was like, hey, would you start Elliott over Eckler? Like, there's no way I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
That's where I couldn't stomach things.
Austin Eckler over 12 and a half carries this week.
Ooh, like, is that the, what is it? 110?
That's the prop. Yeah.
I think what did the last couple of weeks been?
Like, well, he was down last week. Remember, because they were talking about he's going to have to like reclaim his job. Well, Josh Kelly continues to get like 2-something yards per carry. I just don't think now with Easton Stick back in there, they're going to change things up. And, you know, I think they're going to go with what they know the most.
Yeah, I just don't think you take away from Eckler in situations like that. But yeah. Spiller was also getting involved. I think that's interesting. I'm probably going to lock into some reception stuff with Eckler. I think there's a couple running backs I really like this week on the receiving side. I think that's where I'll probably stare at the receptions, because I'll bet you his reception prop is like, might even be 4.5. I'm not sure what he had last week, but I wouldn't even be afraid to take that.
Yeah.
Some other running backs throwing in here. Zach Moss made number 15. We already just told you Austin Eckler. Devon Achane down at 19. I actually like him this week. You were mentioning Raheem Mostert, but I think this is a good breakout game for Achane. The Pittsburgh running back situation, also kind of an interesting one. He looks like Jake is firmly team Najee Harris here, but I don't know. I'm a Jalen Warren guy this week, but the one to speak on is another guy in this like mid RB2 territory, at least according to Jake. You've got this guy as an RB1. This is almost flipped on the Elliott side, because Mixon at 18 is Jake's rank. You've got him at 10. So Mixon has been involved, but Chase Brown is popping up. And I have a feeling that's probably some of where Jake's rank is going here, that Chase Brown is getting some volume. But what say you? Why do you think there's as big of a discrepancy between both your ranks?
Well, Jake's got a bias towards Joe Mixon, which I can't get. You remember last week we talked about this. I had Joe Mixon as my number 5 running back, and Jake had him at 15. He ended up being RB7. So he was closer to my rank. But listen to Joe Mixon's finishes in the last 7 weeks. RB7, RB1, RB35, RB7, RB21, RB11, RB7. So 4 tops and finishes in his last 7 weeks. 1 in the top 12.
Sounds like floor.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically ranking him at his floor. Joe Mixon is killing it through the air right now. And Paul Danner, who writes for the Athletic, writes about the Cincinnati Bengals, had an article last week about how they very consciously decided to change their offense up and get Joe Mixon more screens, get him more involved. Jake Browning has taken over at quarterback because of the injury. Joe Mixon's had like 40 yards a week through the air, and it's by design. They are doing this. And they're also getting Chase Brown more involved because they become a more conservative offense. They're not going to run the same offense with Jake Browning as they did with Joe Burrow. You know, so you get Chase Brown in there to cut his teeth, but Joe Mixon's volume has been just fine. And yeah, the matchup against Minnesota's been good, but Joe Mixon was the number one running back 2 weeks ago when it was Jacksonville at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's a top 12 fantasy team against running backs. He was number 7 against Baltimore a few weeks back. That's a really good fantasy run defense. And he was number 7 against San Francisco. I don't have to tell you, San Francisco is a really good fan. So he's doing it against, it's not like he's doing it against Patsy. He's been doing it against tough guys. So he's a dual threat guy, gets a lot of volume, and he gets the goal line carry. So if they get the ball down at the goal line, more than likely it's going to be Joe Mixon getting the ball. So I love the upside. I think he's, at this point, he's proven he's an RB1, even in tougher matchups. And yeah, I mean, if he's RB18, it's going to be more the exception than the rule for what we've seen over the last couple of months.
That's a good point. I don't remember if we talked about it on air or not, but I absolutely fell in love with the Joe Mixon receiving prop after we talked about it, because you were on that and you put me onto it. And then I started doing the research and I was like, I'm in. I went all in. It was my number one prop of the week. And then Chase Brown catches this 60-yarder. And I'm like, well, guess I'm going to walk out of this week with the right process, but the wrong result. And Mixon still beat his prop by quite a bit.
Love for all of the running backs there in the passing game.
That's exactly right. And an explosiveness from a Chase Brown that gets them into the red zone is going to just be a benefit to Mixon. Mixon is like what people's brains assume Gus Edwards is, where it's like, hey, Gus is going to get volume and work, and then other guys will get plays and he'll get goal lines. And Gus is only goal line. Like, Gus's only value comes at the goal line. Mixon's value is everywhere. So I'm with you on this. I think a more valuable tool than being given credit for. But that's what the RB spot looks like. I will say a very interesting, if I'm using that word, just without discretion this week, Ty Chandler at 24 for Jake. So like I'm mentioning, you know, Ken Walker is pushed down. Jaylen Warren is pushed down for him. Keaton Mitchell is in the flex spot, who I love Keaton this week. And he's saying, I want Ty Chandler over all of these bad boys. I don't know if that jumps out to you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not in love with Ty Chandler. But I don't hate RB 24. I have him at like RB 26 or 25. I can't remember. So I'm kind of in the middle. The volume should be good. He should get three down work, and that in and of itself warrants RB 2 consideration almost always.
All right, let's go over to the wide receivers. It's been very chalk at the top of everything we do. Tyreek Hill comes in at number one, regardless of the ankle injury. I think that's a good thing. He actually was on a Twitch stream. I think it was Twitch just the other day, like last night or whatever. And Tyreek, someone asked him about his ankle, and Tyreek pretty much was just like, I'll be fine. I'm good. I'll be fine. Said it in a way that maybe there was like a little bit of frustration, but like, hey, don't worry about it. You know, we're good here, type of thing. So he comes in at number one. You've got Cooper Kupp at five. So I think this is very matchup based. So Jake is right back in to, and also Cooper Kupp over Puka is something to consider. This one is very eye opening. Debo Samuel at six, quite a bit over Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk, not a wide receiver.
That is not a traditional Jake way mode of thinking. He has come around the Debo role, and like, you know, not can't count on him to be like the target hog guy. He's always preferred Brandon Ayuk over Debo, and I've always been kind of vacillated because I just know that Kyle Shanahan loves the skill set that Debo brings, and he loves to figure out a way to get him the ball no matter what, even if he's not going to be a heavily targeted receiver. Like, they'll find ways to get Debo involved. So I don't know. I've always kind of had him somewhat closely related no matter what.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, I love Debo, always love Debo. And this isn't any type of revenge narrative, but Brandon Ayuk does get to go home. That's where he went to college, played at ASU, and his last matchup, 146 yards, six catches on six targets against the Cardinals. Like, he plays well against the Cardinals first matchup, and they have a horrific secondary.
Yeah.
A lot of
people do, by the way.
Yeah, no, they do. Well, fun fact, the two best rated matchups for wide receivers against corners, according to PFF, are Debo and Brandon Ayuk. You don't see that often. The literal number one and two best matchups are those two guys. So it's pretty good. So that stood out to me. He's comfortable with Justin Jefferson at seven. Puka comes in at 12. Let's stop there at the wide receiver one category, and let's talk about one of the big differences. This is not a wide receiver one, but he almost makes a wide receiver one. Big discrepancy. DeAndre Hopkins, you have at 14 versus Jake at 24. He just has him inside the wide receiver two territory, where you've got DeAndre almost as a wide receiver one.
Yeah, and I'm at wide receiver 14. He's just been really good. Will Levis has really started to lean in on him. It's been a much better connection with Levis than it was with Ryan Tannehill. I mean, it started out with that huge three touchdown game they had, but the last 2 weeks, last week over 100 yards and a touchdown on 12 targets. The week before that, 75 yards and a touchdown on 12 targets. And you get the Texans this week. Yes, Derek Stingley is there, but they are middle of the road in fantasy. And I'm not gonna worry about Derek Stingley, because you go back and you look at the number one receivers coming into the game, the team going into the game against Houston. For the last 5 weeks, the number one receiver has scored better than their season average against the Texans. There are ways to get receivers the ball that you want to get the ball to that don't involve having to throw on Derek Stingley. You can move the guys around, and DeAndre Hopkins is one of those guys you can move around. Garrett Wilson, we had this conversation last week where you were like, because I had Garrett Wilson higher than Jake, and you were like, well, it's Stingley, it's not a great matchup. And I kind of brought the same point. And to that point, they moved him around, they got him the ball, and he showed out just fine. And I think the Titans are going to be able to do the same thing once again, like a lot of teams have done against the Texans.
Yeah, and I don't, and I think part of exactly what you're saying that you're able to take advantage of is I don't think, and I could be wrong about this, but from visually watching, I don't visually watching, watching. It's called watching. I don't think Stingley shadows as much.
I don't
as
think
some he, other corners.
I was just trying to look that up really quickly because I'm like, I think that's the issue. Is like you just exactly. You move him to the other side, you know.
And I think that's why you see a lot of movement and some successes because I don't. I think he's staying on his portion of the field and not shadowing as much, and that's where that goes. You know what? Will Levis also played well. I think that's the other key here. Is like Will Levis had a really like bonehead start to the game and then just started going off. And that's going to be the key. And he's one of those guys. He just looks at Hopkins. So I buy this. This is where you and I differ because I believe this week it's Zay Flowers week. You do not. Jake's got him at 18. You have him at 25. I think there is a chance we could see Zay Flowers this week as a wide receiver one. I guess I get into these sometimes. Specifically, I've done it multiple times with Zay Flowers, but it's about the matchup. And I'll just throw at you, Jacksonville giving up the fourth most fantasy points to receivers over the last month and the most receiving yards. You're also got 18 targets over the last month, by the way, most receiving yards over the last month. 18 targets have gone Zay Flowers' way over the last two games. And coming off of the bye, they decided to give him 10 targets, which was only the fourth time that had happened this year. I'm incredibly optimistic that Zay Flowers is getting more involved. Also on just the throwing this out here on the betting side, like the number one wide receiver against the Jags has beat the current prop number, like five of the last 6 weeks or four of the last 5 weeks, one of those. But Zay Flowers' target share is up. This is a bad Jacksonville defense right now, and Lamar is going to give them fits. I love Zay Flowers. The only thing that would take Zay Flowers out of it is if they run 45 times between the three running backs and Lamar. So why are you not into Zay as much?
Not as much. I have him. I mean, I think, you know, if I think about it more, I might move him up one spot. He's really close. I have him as a wide receiver two bubble guy. You mentioned the 10 targets. I mean, he's had that, you know, three other times. So he's had 10 plus targets four times this year, but the 10 targets equaled 60 yards. And that's kind of the problem. He is not top 78 yards this season. That was his first game of the year. He hit 78. He is a short area target. They're getting Odell Beckham more involved. This is one of the very best tight end matchups. Isaiah likely should have a really good game. And we know that, you know, Baltimore also likes to run. And so I just think because Odell Beckham could also have a big game, because the ceiling for me is just capped. We haven't seen him go over 78 yards. So he kind of has to get in the end zone, and he's not the classic red zone target. I mean, I love Zay Flowers. I think you can do things in the red zone because he's so quick and is able to be so sudden and get open. But that also requires, you know, really good timing from Lamar Jackson and stuff. So I rank him kind of as a borderline wide receiver too almost every week, because I feel like that's sort of where his ceiling is, because he just hasn't had the huge breakout yardage games. And so it's somewhat touchdown dependent. Otherwise, you know, you need like eight catches for 60 yards.
Yeah. I'd almost love them to do what Green Bay is doing with Jaden Reed, which is what the Niners do with Debo Samuel. Like, make Zay Flowers the Baltimore Debo.
Absolutely.
You know, give some end totally around, some short yardage, open field. That's how Jaden Reed has been successful. You'd love to see that with
He's had a 37-yard touchdown run like 2 weeks ago. Like, that's do more of that, you know, absolutely.
Especially when you have like the most dynamic running quarterback in the NFL behind you. It's even scarier than what Debo does with the Niners. Just the other few little previews here. Some big name wide receivers move down. They don't move down to non-startable, but for perspective, you know, we have Zay Flowers at 18. You have Jalen Waddle at 20, Devonta Smith at 22, and Devontae Adams at 23, all behind Zay Flowers for Jake this week. Again, they're all startable. They're wide receiver twos, but quite a bit down. And I wouldn't say that there's many guys that jump up that will surprise people. Maybe the most surprising is Rashee Rice, who is above all of those, but Jaylen Waddle that I just mentioned. And if you're just peeking at the wide receiver three territory, you mentioned Odell. He is a wide receiver three for Jake this week at 30, and Noah Brown at 32, which I love that one. Even though he had five targets last week and no catches, five targets make me feel good. Lastly here, tight end sleeper. You should be starting your tight ends. You should have had that set. This is what I'm trying to say. You should have had your guys. You shouldn't be probably streaming, but who knows? And if you are, where are you going, Brandon?
Chig Okonkwo for the Titans. We're putting up nice yardage numbers. Mentioned DeAndre Hopkins and how he's been faring with Will Levis. Well, Okonkwo, I believe, might have three straight 40-plus yard games. He's still, like, in Yahoo leagues, he's like 66% available. So he is out there in a lot of leagues, and you get one of the best matchups. The Texans, the fourth most fantasy points allowed to the tight end position. They've given up tied for the most tight end receptions on the year in the NFL.
I mean, we'll take that. And I may or may not already be playing him in the pentathlon DFS lineup, which I need some big wins. He's a nice, cheap tight end out there if you're doing that. So there you go. Those are the ranks. You want more, go over to The Athletic. If you have a subscription, you're golden. If you don't, you know what to do. And you can check out Jake's ranks and everything that he's got set for the week. And they adjust as we go, as guys aren't hitting practices or you get weird notes like, oh, hey, by the way, one of the best wide receivers is not going tomorrow. Just want to let you know. And what they did with Keenan Allen, who knows what they'll do. It's playoff time. Things are crazy. And you need to be on your toes, and we are rooting for you. So make your playoff run and come back with us next week, as we'll be, we're kind of getting to the finish line here. We're finishing up everything on the ranks and the waivers, and hopefully we'll be all cheery. We'll be all cheery with another matchup moving forward. That's Brandon Funston. Find him on Twitter at Brandon Funston. You can find me, Welsh, at Is It The Welsh. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. We will talk to you next week right here on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast.